Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Anna's Journey here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your show's host, Anna Renault, and it's always a blessing to be on the air, especially when I have some information that I'd love to share with other folks. And certainly, hopefully, we'll have some guests on the line today, and we're going to be talking about cancer, something that unfortunately is just way too prevalent here in the United States and, of course, around the world. We really need to find some answers, and we need to fill in some help for people who do have cancer. As I said, my name is Anna Renault. You can find out more about me and my cancers on my website, AnnaRenault.com, and that's AnnaRenault. .com, and we can certainly talk about the needs of folks that just seem to like fall through the cracks sometimes. Certainly, I've been talking with some groups about some younger cancer patients, but today we're going to be talking about some older cancer patients. But before we bring our guest on the line, I want to also introduce our airtime sponsor, and that is Ginny Robertson, LLC. Ginny is an entrepreneur here in Baltimore who has been doing a fantastic job of giving women around our state and online a safe place where they can network, where they can certainly discover and explore their gifts, their ideas. They can create a community that is certainly helpful and supportive, and they can achieve a self-defined success. Ginny can be found on her website, ginnyrobertson.com, GinnyRobertson.com. She's also the founder and publisher, editor of On Purpose Woman magazine. It's available in print here in the state of Maryland, but it's also available free online. Ginny, as I mentioned, hosts various networking information meetings here in the state, Connections Over Coffee. She's a fantastic seminar and workshop presenter, and she's actually getting ready for, I think it's her fifth annual conference that will be held the end of October right here near BWI Airport, and people are flying in from various places to be here for it. Find out more information on her website, ginnyrobertson.com. All right, I have some fantastic guests with us today. I certainly want to bring the Taylor family online with me. Let me see if I can click their microphone. They have done what I think is certainly a fantastic idea of partnering to create a group called Coral 65, dedicated to assisting those experiencing cancer late in life. Certainly, our seniors have some special issues, and it's a large cancer community, and fortunately, it's a large survivor community. So let's talk with our guests. Good afternoon. How are you? Oh, I guess it's morning over on the West Coast. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Anna. This is Renee Taylor.
Good morning, Anna. This is Trottle, the mom.
Hi, Renee. Hi, Trottle. There is just a slight delay in talking, so when you talk, I need to remember to wait a second or two before I talk, and you need to do the same. Otherwise, we just talk on top of each other, and that's unfortunately just the way internet radio works, but it works, so we can do it. So,
okay.
Carol, let's start with you. You're the mom. You're the one,
yes.
I think, that I heard say that you had this wonderful idea of creating this fantastic organization. Tell us your story.
Well, it was actually Renee's. We came to the same conclusion at the same time when I was going through. I was diagnosed when I was 69 with triple negative breast cancer, which later we found out is the tricky one. And on top of that, I had another cancer, which is called the Patches disease, which starts on the outside, which actually was the precursor of my finding out that I had the triple negative. And so I went to the surgeon, and I was first misdiagnosed with having melanoma, and I said, "Whoa, I never did any of this sunbathing on the beach." But then they did some more checking and found out that I had they called it the tricky one. And so when I was done, she was good enough to, present the news to me in a decent manner. But then she says, "Well, and then you go out to the front desk and ask the receptionist to give you the business cards for your team." And I said, I looked at Renee and I said, "What is she talking about? what kind of team? What team do I need?" So this is, Renee says, "I think I have to do something there." And so for 15 hours straight, Renee was on the computer checking for what a team is, and she said, "We have to get other information. We have to get, second opinions." Mm-hmm. Well, we got three other opinions, and at the end, I found the most wonderful and capable doctor, surgeon, oncologist, outstanding. And then I had chemo sessions that affected my heart, so I found a cardiologist, and the cardiologist and I, we adopted each other. We had such a good relationship. While all this was going on, we went to a cancer center to see if we can get some information, and they said, "Well, you have the wrong insurance." And I said, "Wait a minute, but your name is on my insurance card." "Well, no, this is a different entity, and we can't help you." And I said, "Oh, that doesn't work for me." So That was, I think, probably was the clincher of doing more research. And
I think, Toronto, you have certainly pinpointed many, just in that couple of seconds, many of the problems that most cancer patients go through, because, first of all, we're hit with this diagnosis. You have cancer, and you're totally unbelievable of what the doctor just said, and he keeps talking, and you're in shock. You're sitting there saying, "What? You know, what did he just say?" Or her, whatever the doctor happens to be. But you also point out the fact that the staff are so used to doing this, so used to saying, "Get the cards for your team," that they never stop to think that the patient has no idea what they're talking about.
Precisely.
Isn't that how you felt? Go ahead.
Yeah. No. So precisely. I mean, it's just. You're hit over the head. Thank God I had Renee with me. Otherwise, I would have never remembered what she was saying.
Well, that's another big point. I tell people, always take someone with you. They say, "Oh, I can do it by myself. I'm okay. I can drive," whatever. It's not the fact that whether you can drive or not. It's whether or not you're going to remember what you heard. Because as soon as the doctor says you have cancer, your brain just goes all fuzzy, and you don't always hear what the doctor is saying or the nurse saying or the technician is saying. You really need that extra pair of eyes and ears. I also tell people to write stuff down. I took my sister when she had her breast cancer. It was stage zero. It was little. It was no big deal.
Yeah.
But she was totally out of it. She had no idea what the doctor was talking about. I wrote everything down. I heard everything the doctor said. So when we got home, we went over it. And she said, oh, well, that doesn't sound so bad. But if you had asked her in the doctor's office, you would have thought she was dying. You know, she had no clue of how good or bad or whatever this doctor was throwing out. You know, she was triple positive. She had no idea what that meant.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you just go into this fuzzy world that you really need to find your way through. So after you got your cards and you found out you needed your team, because there again, you had a dual diagnosis, then you had the heart issue. What else happened?
Well, what else happened is I had four sessions of chemo. Oh, and by the way, I have to tell you, Renee did such a fabulous job on documenting everything. She's like a monk type person, but everything was documented and it's in a folder, and it was just outstanding. But nevertheless, I had to go through chemo, and because of the tricky cancer that I had, the chemo was rather strong. And after each session, I had to get a shot that develops the white blood cells.
And they last for that.
Yes. And each shot was $5,000. And being on Medicare only paid a fraction of it. So I had to get four $5,000 shots. And I said, okay, who's going to pay for that? You know, if I would have been, shall we say, fairly well to do, I would never have questioned it. But being on, you know, on a limited income, that was a big issue for me. So what do I do if I can't afford it?
So this is Renee. I want to interject on this because I saw the stress that this was causing my mom, the financial worries, and so I said, well, let me go and see if there's, you know, co-payment assistance, you know, or if there's the drug manufacturer offers any payment assistance. And so I did go through the screening process with the drug manufacturer, and they came to the question, is your mom on a government-sponsored program such as Medicare? And she is, and then she has her additional plan, you know. And I said, yes, she is. And it was like, well, that's unfortunate because then we can't help her. And so that to me was quite shocking, you know. And then on top of that, and this may not be the story, you know, the same for everybody, but because the shot couldn't be helped, you know, the drug manufacturer couldn't help with payment of the shot, and under Medicare, what was interesting is the shot was not considered a Part B medical service, rather it was considered a Part D prescription drug. And
right.
So then you have, you know, now you have Part B costs and you have Part D costs. And then, interesting enough, because it was considered a prescription drug and not a medical service, the shot could not be provided in a medical setting. It could not be given by a medical professional. And so, you know, I had to give Mother the shot at home. And so I practiced on fruit. And I said, Mother, I said, what would you do if you were alone? You know, number one, you're tired from the chemo. And number two, you know, some people aren't, you know, that fond of shots, you know, more so giving themselves shots. So, and especially if you're older and alone, how is that handled? And so that was very troubling to me, that when you're older and alone, what would you do? And it's a life-saving shot. You have to have it.
Well, that's part of the problem, is the fact that some doctors say you have to and some doctors say you don't have to. And that battle has been going on for years. I know I had the Neulasta shots in 2009, and I was fortunate that I still had my regular Blue Cross that covered it. And again, it was a matter of whether it was necessary or whether it was preventative. And again, doctors don't always clarify what they're saying to you. You have to have this. Why do I have to have it? Is it preventative, therefore Part D, or is it necessary? It should be covered under Part B. And it really depends a lot of times on what the doctor writes down and what the doctor decides and how he presents it to the insurance companies. Unfortunately, you mentioned another problem that most of us have, especially as we get older, is the fact that Medicare doesn't cover a whole lot of stuff that you would think would be no-brainer, that these are necessary things to get us through this disease and help us live. To me, that's Part B. But, again, somebody somewhere is making these decisions, and I'm willing to bet nobody making the decisions is a senior citizen on Medicare.
Right on. So,
right on.
Yeah, that's part of the problem.
Well, part of what we want to do is go to the people who are making these decisions, and we would like to go to the policymakers. We would like to go to Capitol Hill, you know, as I'm sure so many other people would, and really highlight the fact that seniors, number one, you know, those 65 and older are the ones, you know, from what I have researched, are the ones who have the highest incidence of cancers, but are most times not given a lot of the attention. And so I think it's something as a society and as policy makers we need to draw more attention to.
Well, there are a couple of things that has bothered me. And by the way, we've never met, so you don't know my whole history. But I started having cancer in 1977. I'm working on 40 years of cancer treatment since the age of 27. I started out being told I was too young. Now I am over 65. Now it's like, you're old, you're going to die soon anyway. I mean, there's this whole attitude shift that is a problem within the medical community. Because let's face it, people are living a lot longer than they ever used to. They deserve the respect. They deserve the treatment. We don't have death panels that say, you're over 65, just sit there and die. I mean, that was part of the whole idea of creating Medicare, was so that the elderly would be taken care of.
And you, Anna, and my mom, and so many other aging ladies and aging men, are proof positive that after 65, you're still viable and you are still valuable. I mean, look at what you're doing. Look at what my mom is doing. I say, you know, she's going to be turning 73 next month, and people ask, well, are you retired? And she goes, no, I'm not. And so I say, yeah, my mom is not retired. She's refired because she's still...
There you go.
Exactly. And, you know, there's so many people when we go out, they're so inspirational. And I have to, what you said about, we call it age bias, the attitude that older people can have short life expectancy and diminished quality of life. And I don't think that is, you know, years and years ago that may have been the case, but now that is not the case at all. You know, 65 is the new 40.
No, I think to an extent we're being discriminated against. And I call it we're the throwaway society, where you put your older folks, you just, instead of taking care of them, you put them in a home. You know, and I'm not used to that. I was growing up where the family took care of the family, and so it's very hard for me to accept all that behavior towards the older generation.
Well, I have to admit, I saw something on Facebook yesterday asking what would be one thing I would like America adopt from other cultures. and that would be to take care of our elderly. I mean, the Japanese honor their elderly. I mean, it's a given that families will live together sometimes two or three generations. I am very fortunate. I live in a fairly large house that my dad originally built in 1950. I bought it from my parents during the bank crisis of the 80s when their bank closed and they had no money. So I lived in the main house, and we made an apartment on the back of the house for my parents. When they wound up, my dad died and my mother went into a high rise where she would have 12 floors of seniors that she could talk to all day long. And that was her choice.
Yeah.
I moved into the apartment, and my daughter and the grandkids were in the main house. Now my granddaughter and her husband are in the main house, and I'm in the apartment. I mean, not too many families do this generational living, and it's a shame. I have to admit, I'm glad to see more of my friends whose families have the opportunity to have in-law apartments or, you know, senior apartments on the back of their house or somehow connected so that the family can stay together. Because our seniors do need to be taken care of. Our nursing home situations, there are going to be times when somebody needs nursing care. They need to be in a facility. A family doesn't have the wherewithal to, you know, especially if they have to be in bed or any of those kinds of things. I understand that that is true of some cases. But I don't think we go far enough to try to avoid the nursing homes segment. I really don't. I mean, my mom is 88. She's in her own apartment. She still drives, which I really don't want to see. But we really do need to get this society attitude. As Renee just said, 60 is the new 40. People are very vibrant. They are still very, very active at 60. So why did you decide to do the organization and tell us about founding Coral 65?
So given Mother's story and the challenges, but also ultimately the success she had, we both decided, like Mother said, it was kind of we had an epiphany. And I said to Mother, we really need to do something, because when I spent that 15 hours on the computer and I was looking for, you know, senior citizen cancer care or elderly cancer support, I couldn't find anything. What I found was a lot of information, and not to sound cold or callous or anything, was a lot for children in cancer, for pediatric cancer, but nothing for geriatric cancer. And I said, well, I think it's time that we start a grassroots movement and a grassroots support for lack of a better term, geriatric cancer, so that nobody who's older should have to go through some of the trials and tribulations that my mom did, particularly those who would be alone or on a fixed income. And moreover, we found that as you get older, there are certain different needs and different supports that you need. You know, so, for example, I think a lot of times older people like to be amongst their compatriots, those who are a little older and who have more life experience and want to talk about those things. And then with for older people too, I can't see some older people, and no dig to my mom, sitting on a computer for 15 hours trying to find the right information they need. So because not everybody is technologically advanced, not everybody has an app or a smartphone, you know, so I said we can do that kind of research on the computer and that kind of thing, you know. And then because the statistics, you know, show that right now 53% of the cancer diagnoses are over those in 65 and over, but they're not getting a lot of the support and attention.
And we're going to have the silver tsunami.
Yeah, and then, like Mother just said, we have the advent of the silver tsunami, where there's just more and more people who are getting older and older, but we don't see society preparing for that, you know, and so we're trying to get ahead of that tsunami and be able to have, you know, everything ready for when the older people need that support.
You make a couple of very good points there that I think we really need Congress to hear, because they're the ones that quite often are telling us what we can and can't have, especially within Medicare. We're talking about the fact that our American population is a very large senior population, and it's growing with the baby boomers of the 50s and 60s.
Yep.
The cancer group, as you said, 63% are diagnosed over 65. That is a huge burden financially on Medicare and everything else, but it's also something that we need to address. Before Medicare just collapses under the financial need, they need to address what we're going to do about it. Part of it is the cost of drugs. Certainly the big hoopla that just came out about the EpiPens. Oh, my gosh, all these kids need EpiPens. We can't charge this much. Well, guess what? Seniors with cancer need Neulasta shots. They need to pay for those. Cancer patients with lymphedema, we need to pay for that treatment. It's not covered under Medicare. There are so many gaps that, again, the policymakers, the decision makers, have never walked in our shoes. They have no idea what it is and what it means. I actually had a very interesting lunch last Wednesday. My congressman posted on Facebook that he was at a local restaurant and he was making local contacts. I put my shoes on and I went right down to the restaurant. I agreed to sit at a table where the waitress told me to sit. The congressman knows me. He saw me. He's like, come on over. What are you doing? What'd you do to your arm? Because it's all swollen and bandaged with lymphedema. I picked up my purse and I moved right over to his table. And I told him. I said, Medicare doesn't cover this. That's unacceptable. We had a really interesting lunch about palliative care, about what Medicare doesn't cover. I took full advantage. I really did. And I told him, I said, I just crossed paths with a group on Facebook who started a group for over 65. He said, I need more information about that. So I sent his girl the information about you guys. We need these things addressed. So if you get an email from Dutch Ruppersberger, don't be surprised. Anna Renault has pushing.
Good for you.
It was
perfect
timing. The door was open. I rushed right in. These are things that we need people to hear about. We need Capitol Hill to know. I have been to the Hill quite a few times with a group called the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network. They're the lobbying arm for the American Cancer Society. As a nonprofit, the American Cancer Society cannot technically lobby. But they started a separate organization, American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, and at least once a year, 500 members of this group descend on Capitol Hill. And we meet with individual congressmen, their staff, whoever, and we tell them, we need this. We need more money for NIH. We need more money for whatever. We need Congress to stand up and support the cancer community. Certainly since last year, or even earlier this year, Vice President Biden is on our side. Unfortunately, due to a family situation, he became aware of what's going on. He came to Baltimore to Johns Hopkins, and they started a new immunotherapy program for cancer patients. They're having great success. It took the vice president to get that done. And you guys need to let the vice president know there's another whole gap here in terms of seniors. We need the palliative care bill. We need hospital centers to say, we'll help you with your team. We'll explain to you who's available to you for your team. We're going to fill in the gaps of what you need to do because you probably have never done this before.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that starts happening. So as Renee was saying, grassroots movement, it is powerful. And we need to increase that, and we need to keep pushing it on Capitol Hill as much as possible. Let's face it, that's our decision makers, that's our policy makers for this country. They can tell the insurance companies, you must cover this. They can tell Medicare, you must cover this. They're the decision makers. They're the policy makers. What else is it that you really want people to know about, Trudeau?
Well, one thing I want them to know that I am determined to get this going, and I tell people that it is my goal as long as the good Lord gives me life, that I will go and speak in front of Congress and make sure this does not happen to the future older generation.
And I can attest that she is one determined, tough mother. And
now, you know, it was interesting when you guys sent me your biographies. They were very interesting, needless to say. Renee, you certainly have done a ton of things in your life, certainly military experience and all kinds of other degrees and all kinds of stuff. I mean, when I read master's degree in aeronautic science for Embry-Riddle Aeronautic University, it was like, what? She has done what? You know. But thank you. Congratulations on your summa cum laude graduation. That is absolutely, absolutely awesome. And serving in the Air National Guard, thank you for your service. I mean, these are fantastic biographies. And your mother, sitting there next to you, I mean, listen to all these things that she has done is just unbelievable, you know. A 20-year career in private industry, federal government, computer technology. I mean, all these different things, you know, certainly a distinguished leader and selfless volunteer. You know, these are just absolutely unbelievable. And I was really, really impressed when I got them, needless to say. And while none of that really says I'm going to start a cancer group or a nonprofit for cancer seniors, thank you for taking all of that accomplishment and all of the things that you have done. Certainly, Trudel, when you said you were an executive assistant for international companies, not too many people can say that. And even just being bilingual in America usually means you know a little bit of Spanish and English. You are obviously grown up and fluent in German, which, again, is something we don't hear too much of, especially since the World War. It just wasn't something that you heard about in America much. And that is just awesome that you were able to do all that you've done in your lifetime. And I'm glad to hear that your lifetime isn't over. Yes, you are going to be 73. Obviously, you're still up, you're still out, you're still doing. How many speaking engagements do you tend to do in a week, a month, a year? How long have you been as a nonprofit?
So we've been in existence since 2014, and I guess speaking engagements, we talk to whoever we can get their ears. You know, we haven't done any formal speaking engagements or speeches. Most of our engagement, if you will, is we do through community outreach. So, for example, we do offer a support group here locally in our city, and we also started one in Palm Springs, and they were just lovely and welcoming at a senior center in Palm Springs. And so we also do community engagement through attending, for example, senior summits that are put on by state senators or county supervisors. We go to health fairs. We go to local community events in the summertime, such as concerts under the stars. And so we set up our table, and we bring our informational material. And
we put on our shirts, our Coral 65 shirts, and we are out there.
We're out there spreading the word and motivating people and bringing awareness. We're informal. We do informal speaking engagements, if you will. And we do things like this. And again, I want to thank you very much for giving, you know, this platform and this conversation.
Oh, it is so appreciated.
One of the interesting things about Blog Talk Radio is they are actually recording this show. When we hang up, the link to the show will be live and people can listen to the replay. So you can certainly use that on your website, in your blog, on your social media, wherever, and people can hear you talking about what it is that happened to you, why it is that you started this group, and what your goal is, and certainly to encourage other people to do the same. We need to stand up, and we need to say to these policymakers, you aren't doing what needs to be done. And we need to change what's not being done. We need to fix these things. So, you know, we need to get this information out. Go ahead.
No, it is. If it doesn't affect you, it doesn't matter. It seems like, well, it affects me, and if it affects me, it should matter to you.
And what's interesting, part of our nonprofit, you know, while we're dedicated to women 65 and older affected by cancer, we also say women 65 and older and their families, because they're, you know, the family should have concern about the grandma who, you know, or the aunt or the wife of somebody, you know, the sister. So we want to kind of make it clear that while our emphasis is on those 65 and older, it's something that affects entire families, and quite frankly, it affects entire communities. You know, if viable people, viable, vibrant, valuable people are being ignored.
You would hope that certainly in America, where we have such fantastic medical care compared to most of the world, that we would be doing a better job than what we're doing. And again, people see the number of successes, and that's good, that's fine, we don't need to do more. And yet we do. We really do. It's not just that we have survived, but the quality of life while you're going through it.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are seniors whose families have moved across the country for various reasons, sometimes for military, sometimes for employment, sometimes for love. But families are so scattered that there's no guarantee that a senior has somebody in their state, let alone in their town, that can help them through this. So it's been a blessing, Renee, that you're there for your mom, that you had the time and ability to do that research. Go ahead.
Anna, I have to tell you, if she wouldn't have been here, I wouldn't be speaking with you today.
And going back you know, our careers and so forth. I had never envisioned in my life, interesting enough, in my college essays, my college entrance essays, it was, I did say way back then I was a philanthropic misanthrope, you know. But I never thought I would become a philanthropist, but you can put a strike through the misanthrope, you know. But I never imagined, and mother never imagined, that we'd be doing something like this. I figured I'd have a career in aerospace or in fashion, because I like fashion, but I never thought that mother and I would be working shoulder to shoulder, you know, and doing this. But part of that,
so
too.
So when are you having your fashion show fundraiser?
It's in the works.
It's in the
10-year plan. We have a 10-year plan, and we've actually have a fashion fundraiser somewhere in there.
Well, I can certainly say pretty much the same thing. I worked for the Division of Rehabilitation Services, where we really did evaluate, assess, and whatever, and help people with disabilities figure out what they could do and were there jobs that they were able to do and hopefully get them employed. And I did that for 30, 32 years and retired. Never did I think that I was going to be a published author, a radio show host, a newspaper columnist. I mean, these were not in my 30-year plan, my 50-year plan. I mean, it just was never something that a kid from the woods in the East Baltimore County area would ever do. And there are still people who say, you do what? And you lose weight. Life throws things at you. Go ahead.
Well, and I think one thing that's gotten mother and myself through all these trials and tribulations is our faith. Some people don't want to talk about faith, but we will talk about faith because your life is, we feel, and this is just our opinion, our belief, that your life is already planned out. You know, you could, and you're guided, and what you think you're going to do is probably what you may not end up doing unless it's what a higher being thinks you're suited for. So, I think we were guided this way. And mother, you know, sometimes looks back and says, why did this happen to me? And it's, and we say, because she was needed.
The Lord said it, so.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's that simple. I happen to be a firm believer that the Lord is out there. People don't have to believe. That's their choice. However, I would rather live believing there is a God. If I die and find out that's wrong, oh well. But living, not believing, and then you die and find out there is, it's too late, guys. Mm-hmm. It's much better to believe ahead of time. But I also have these amazing stories that, to me, prove there is a God. I was in a car with a boy. He had just proposed. He had draft papers in his pocket that he was going to Vietnam. We agreed that we were going to run off to West Virginia and get married. I was going to come home and live with my parents and go to school and graduate, and he was going to Vietnam. On the way home, the Lord said, no, you're not. We had a car accident, and he was killed. I did not go to West Virginia and live, because we were eventually going to live on his family's farm on the mountaintop in West Virginia. And the Lord said, no, you're not. He was gone, and I'm still here, and I'm still in Baltimore. Same way with some of my cancer diagnoses. I have had some crazy things happen, like my stomach bleeding. They x-rayed my stomach and found my ovarian tumors. By accident, the Lord put me in the right place at the right time with the right doctors.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It really, if you don't have faith before, by the time you hear some of these things in your life, you say, how can I not believe that there is somebody higher power directing all this. I can't be that lucky. It can't be that coincidental that many times in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm here to testify to that. I believe prayer. Prayer is powerful.
It is. You know, there's a little saying, prayers go up and blessings come down.
Yes. In 09. Go ahead.
And that's how I have been living my life in the last 10-15 years. You know, it took me a little while to get to the full-fledged faith, but I can't live without it. But I have a favorite author and speaker who and his name is so I go what he has to say, and it's very enlightening and makes a lot of sense. And I said, there you go. It wasn't meant to be, or the door opened or the door closed, and it was for a reason.
And I tell people all the time, when the Lord closes a door, don't force it open. Go a different direction. There are other doors. There are other opportunities. And even just recently, I was planning with a group of friends to have a cruise leave Baltimore on October the 8th. Sounded really good. The price was right. And one of the ladies said, you know, that's hurricane season. Well, that was the end of that group. Everybody saying, I'm not going. The next day, I got an invite to be a keynote speaker at a cancer conference on October the 8th in Seaside, California.
Aww.
I'm coming to California. I will be in Seaside, California, October 7th, 8th, and 9th. Obviously, I wasn't meant to go on that cruise. Hello. And, of course, hurricane season has just gotten really active in the Atlantic, and it's like, maybe that lady had a point. Maybe we shouldn't be taking a cruise this summer, you know, this fall. It is unbelievable that the Lord puts the right things on my path at the right time.
Yes.
It has just absolutely been amazing. Trudel, how are you feeling now? You want to be 73. Obviously, you're very active. How are you feeling these days?
Well, I'm sometimes I'm struggling. There, you know, I'm still dealing with some side effects. But all in all, considering the circumstances, I'm feeling pretty good. It's not like I used to feel, but I feel pretty darn good, and
I'm
alive.
Our new normal, the new normal after cancer. But I specifically asked that question because of the side effects, the late side effects. In my case, I had my breast cancer in 09, 2010. I had lymphedema in 2011. That was 5 years ago. And it pretty much has been non-existent or not a problem for 5 years. And July 4th, I woke up, swelling up, looking like I was changing into the Hulk. All I needed was the green skin coloring. And here's this arm all swollen with lymphedema. And it's like, what triggered that? Of course, I went to the emergency room to make sure that's what it was, not something else. And the doctor said, well, you'll always have lymphedema. It'll just swell up from time to time. It's like, but what causes it? The ER doctor had no idea. So, of course, now I'm in treatment for the lymphedema. But it's these side effects. There are some things that never go away. If you've had a lot of chemo, sometimes you have stomach issues. Sometimes you have intestinal GI tract issues because of the damage from the chemo. It saved your life, but it changed your life.
Yes, so much so. One positive I received a couple of months ago and was from my oncologist, and she said, I am happy to tell you that you are cured.
Yay!
With your With your the type of cancer you had, if it would come back, it would come back within the first 2 years. And I am in year 3.5, and she said, "I'm happy to tell you, you're cured." And that was like, oh, music to my ears, you know.
I don't want to dampen that spirit. However, doctors don't know that for sure. They can tell you that that's the average. So, unfortunately, I've met people that it does come back at various times. In my case, my breast cancer technically ended December of 2010 and came back in March of 2015. I was really pushing to get to December of 2015 because I was told 5 years. Well, I didn't quite make it, you know. I mean, they can tell you what the average is, and I certainly pray that it doesn't come back at all for you. Yeah. I mean, you're 73 years old. You certainly do not need another bout of cancer at this point in time. But again, these are things that we need to think about. We need to address. How many do recur 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? They've come up with drugs like tamoxifen that supposedly, statistically, is working and has reduced recurrence. But then again, maybe it didn't reduce recurrence. Maybe those people were never going to recur anyway. How do we know? You know, it's amazing with all the research and with all the statistics how much we do know and how much we don't know. All we can do is try to work with the statistics that we have. And since the statistics show we do have recurrences, we do have late side effects, we do have issues that Medicare doesn't cover, we need to keep promoting that the policymakers need to remember. We are a large number of constituents to these legislators. We are a large, we are probably the most largest voting bloc because seniors are very dedicated to voting. They need to remember us. We need to use that tool. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was interesting. The other night we were at a campaign event for a U.S. congressman. And interesting enough, I've never felt so young in my life. I think I was one of the youngest people there. And mother even felt young. But you got it right, that it's the older generation that show up in numbers, that are concerned about issues and policy.
Issues.
And so I just wish policymakers would heed and not be so dismissive when older people, you know, are voicing concern.
Unfortunately, again, we need that attitude shift. They're looking at the younger generation because they're working and they have money to spend to donate.
Mm-hmm.
And the seniors are on limited income and don't have money to donate. So they dismiss us. Yet, our currency is that we have this large voting bloc, and they need to pay attention to that. And we need to remind them of that. So what is your next step? What are you doing this month come September? I mean, it's Thursday. It's September 1st already. It's unbelievable. What do you have on your calendar for September?
Oh, my gosh. And that's funny because Mother says I had such a full calendar in my life. Every day is filled. So every day, actually, so for September, we're probably going to be participating in another community event. Oh, and then, of course, we have our monthly support group meeting that meets the first Wednesday of every month here in our town of San Juan Capistrano, California. Mother's getting the calendar off the wall. And so, okay, all right, and then we're going to, on Tuesday, September 6th, interesting enough, I'm a veteran, I'm also part of the Veterans Advisory Council, so we're going to a Veterans Resource Fair, and interesting enough, one of our new programs within our nonprofit is dedicated to women veterans, because
Great.
Since I'm a veteran and mother's been with me the whole, my 18 plus years of being in the military, we decided we're gonna do something for women veterans. So we're attending a veterans resource fair, and then we have a support group, and we've got, oh, and then there's another, a statewide California women's veterans event, and then we're going to, gosh, another one. So September, interesting enough, we're heavy into the to veterans support. And then in October, that's our very busy month, we're actually participating in two fundraising events. One is through a brand new outlet shopping mall, huge here in Southern California. It's beautiful, right on the coast. And 25 local charities were selected as beneficiaries of this shopping extravaganza, and we're one of the 25 charities.
Congratulations.
So
congratulations. Wow.
Thank you. Yeah, and so that's exciting. And then on Saturday, October 15th, we're having our annual fundraising event, and we always have a theme, and it's for this year it's called Horses and Hogs for a Great Cause. We're called it Saddle Up and Ride. We live in an equestrian community, so we're encouraging the equestrians to bring out their horses, and then we also live along a highly used recreational, like Harley-Davidson riding route, so that would be the hog part. So we're inviting members with horses and hogs to come out and help us raise funds for our relief and support programs, and then we're heading out to Palm Springs for our support group out there in October. So, yes, we're busy, busy, busy.
Good, good, good. I know we have a Harley-Davidson not too far from my house, and they do a cancer ride every October, and it just keeps growing. I mean, the police department keeps saying, where are all these people coming from with all these motorcycles? And, you know, it started out with like 25, and it's been at least 10 years, and now it's well over 200. And they just block off the streets and let these guys go up to the beltway, and then they block off one lane of the beltway, and they go all the way around the circle and hit, you know, every community around the beltway. It's awesome. And these guys are, and I shouldn't just say guys, because there are a lot of women these days that are riding, and it's awesome. It really is.
Well,
I mean, the motorcycle community really supports cancer.
And like I was in Washington, D.C. one time when it was rolling thunder, and that was a sight to behold. That was a sight to behold. So
well,
maybe
we
can get them.
The week before that. Yeah. We have a small one here in Baltimore, and then they all go the next week to D.C. and do it there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it is rolling thunder. It's a lot of noise. It really is. But they are so supportive. They really, really are.
So
congratulations.
That's our,
go ahead.
Oh, I said, that's our calendar for this year. And then, of course, we've got, you know, stuff already lined up for next year and the year after that and the year after that.
That sounds fantastic, Renee. Now, you started in 2014, so you've had a couple of years of success.
Mm-hmm.
What would you want listeners to do? Go on your website, donate? Is there a place where you can join? What would you want listeners to do?
All of the above. So we definitely encourage listeners to visit our website, which is coral65.org. And we are always open to donations. You know, no amount is too little, and certainly no amount is too much. You know, and just start spreading the word and helping seniors in their local community, seniors, you know, particularly seniors with cancer, in their local community. Start, you know, writing letters to their elected officials. And just start, you know, being not selfish about our organization, but wanting to help those outside, you know, start grassroots movements in their own communities, because hopefully everybody will be fortunate and privileged enough to reach age 65. And it would be, it's in, you know, and I, more importantly, I encourage the young people, you know, people who are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, to get involved, because they're going to be the next wave that's going to be aging, and we want everybody to be set up for success in the future with their health, and especially with respect to proper cancer treatment and care. So, you know, that's what we'd ask. Come visit our website. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, you know, so like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, donate, get the word out.
You know, there's a little, Helen Keller said it so well. She said, alone we can do so little, together we can do so much.
That is an awesome quote never to forget, because we've certainly proved that over and over again, that when we get our ducks in a row, we are formidable, and we've done it before, we can do it again. Certainly, you know, when you look at how people came together during the Depression, how people came together during World War II, how people came together after 9/11, you know, that's something that's more recent that more younger people can visualize. I mean, the churches were overflowing. We need to get back to coming together and doing as much as we possibly can. And we can't be selfish about this. We're talking about the quality of life.
Yes.
Whether we die from our disease or we survive the disease, we deserve the quality of life while we're still living.
Mm-hmm.
And that should never change. Ladies, it has been my pleasure to certainly cross paths with you. Again, I think the Lord puts the right people on my path at the right point in time. I certainly hope that a lot of people will listen to the show, will respond to your website, and certainly even start some grassroots organizations within their community, because, again, as I mentioned before, so many families are spread out across the country. Not every senior has a daughter nearby. Not every
Yes.
sister has a sister nearby. We need to make sure that nobody has to go through this alone. They really need that second set of eyes and ears at those doctor's appointments. They really need that palliative care that is just not necessarily there everywhere that we go.
See, and
go ahead.
No, I said we're connected. We have a wonderful doctor who specializes in palliative care, and we have sources for, like, when patients have to go to doctor's appointments who can't. So we have connection. We have a lot of connections. So the only thing people need to do is get in touch with us, and we are there to support, and we are there to help out.
Now,
and
how
may
far
I say
do you reach right now? Are you still primarily in Southern California? I know I heard you mention Palm Springs. How far
right,
do
so
you
we,
reach?
We go up to Los Angeles. We can go down to San Diego. We go up to Palm Springs. So geographically, you know, we can travel, you know, throughout most of Southern California. Ideally, you know, one of our 10-year plan is we want to start chapters, you know, and so if anybody's interested in helping us start chapters throughout their community so we can get a bigger geographic reach. Now, of course, we have, you know, globally speaking, we're on the internet, so anybody from around the world can come to our website or, you know, on social media, but with respect to physical presence, we're here in Southern California.
So you said between L.A. and San Diego and then eastward to Palm Springs.
Yes.
That's still a pretty good-sized geographic area. People, I don't think, realize just how long California can be. I just brought up the map from where my conference is going to be near Carmel to where you are is like 6 hours, 7 hours away. So, you know, and that's not even all the way to Northern California. That's, you know, I'm still below San Francisco. It's a big, long state. And, of course, I live in Maryland. five hours or so, and you've gone from side to side, north to south, east to west, and you've covered our entire state. You know, it's really interesting that we have the ocean and we have the mountains and all in between, and yet we're still only 5 or 6 hours from the farthest end to the other end. So we're just a tiny little speck. I think we're number 3 in the country. I think it's Connecticut, Rhode Island. No, we're number 5. Connecticut, Rhode Island, Delaware, New Jersey, and then us. So, you know, we just have a lot of small states over here compared to what California is. It's amazing. But you guys are doing so much good, and we really do need to raise the awareness. We really do need people to hear this message and think about it. It could be your mother. It could be your grandmother. It could be your aunt, your uncle, whoever, when they're over 65, especially if you have a family history. You need to know the warning signs. You need to know the symptoms of the different cancers. You need to know. I've been talking with a group called 15 to 40. That age group has not seen any improvement in mortality rate since 1975. It's like the forgotten generation in between there. And I know I heard it at 27. Oh, you're too young. You're too young. No, cancer knows no discrimination when it comes to age. You're not too young. But what I like about this group is their three-step process. Know your body. Know what great feels like. Know what normal feels like. Know your body. So that step two, when you know something's wrong, you might wait a week or two and figure out, you know, maybe I've just overdone it and that's why I ache or I'm too tired or whatever. But step three is go to that doctor, get checked out, get early diagnosis. And again, that's one of my big push. I think I've survived my cancers because I have been so pushy with early diagnosis. My first cancer was the same as my grandmother's. She died from hers. She was only 48. It was 1961. They didn't know enough back then. Yeah. By the time I had it in 77, I did fear that I was following in her footsteps, and I didn't want to die. And I pushed, and I said, I need this now. I had to change doctors to get it, but I got it, and I'm here to talk about it. I also followed in my father's footsteps. My father had melanoma. My father had colon cancer. I had both. My colon cancer was 44. Doctor said, you're too young. They don't do colonoscopies until you're 50. Hello? You know, I have symptoms. I have history. You need to do the test now. So early diagnosis, if you know there's something wrong, you got to push for it. Regardless of your age, you deserve good treatment. And in this country, we have good medical care. There's no excuse not to have good medical care. So again, ladies, thank you. I'm glad we crossed paths. I think we'll be in touch again soon. Certainly email me your information about your fundraisers so that I can advertise it. And as I said, I'm coming to California in October. I'll be in front of a cancer group. I can tell them about you. So you never know who you might hear from. Thank you so much. We're going to be running out of time here in just a few minutes. Go ahead, Renee.
So, yeah, I just wanted to close by saying, number one, when I saw that you wanted to, it was really interesting because about a week before you contacted us, a neighbor says, you know, you should really think about getting on a radio show. And like I said, and within days, within a week, I get this lovely message, you know, through Facebook.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, there's somebody upstairs is listening, you know. And so just thank you so much for finding us, you know, and thank you so much for supporting and helping us put the word out. And it's like, it sounds like you're one of our own, so to speak. What you're saying, if we were on a video, you'd see two ladies here, you know, with our heads bobbing up and down in agreement, you know. So we couldn't have said it better ourselves.
Anna, thank you so much. It's so much appreciated, and I wish you many blessings.
Well, I thank you very much for that, and I certainly do appreciate the fact that I agree that the Lord puts the right things in my path at the right time. It has certainly been truly amazing to me that things have gone the way they have, both good and bad. There are certainly
mm-hmm.
people who have said to me that the Lord can't possibly be so good or he wouldn't have given me all the cancers, and certainly now I have to say, my life would not be what it is now if I hadn't had all that. And
yes.
I've learned a lot, and I've been able to share a lot, and I hope that I've been able to help a lot of people because of all that. So, you know, I survived. Apparently the Lord thought I was strong enough to survive it all. I can't complain. There have been people who said, well, what if you die? Well, what if I do? We all will at some point in time.
Yeah.
At least in my case, I believe in heaven. Why not die and go to heaven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other question, and then when people say, well, what if you die? Sometimes a nice retort is, and what if I live? Uh-huh.
Right.
Watch out then.
And I keep telling them, I'm stuck here. The Lord's not ready for me, and the devil doesn't want me. So here I am. And I'll keep doing as much as I can for as long as I can. And obviously you guys are on that same type of path. I mean, why would you not want to do as much as you can do? It makes you feel so good to know that you've done so much good and to make such a difference. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome. I often say it feeds my soul.
Yes.
It does.
Yes. And may your soul be fed many years to come.
Yes.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, Renee, give out your contact information one more time.
Okay, so our website for Coral 65 is www.coral65.org, and that's spelled C-O-R-A-L, the number 6, the number 5, .org. And then you can find us on Facebook. Just search for Coral 65, and then also on Twitter.
And what is your Twitter handle?
Oh, my goodness. I think it's coral65.org.
You think, huh?
It is. It's at Coral. It's at coral65_org.
Okay. At coral65. Underscore
O-R-G.
Okay. I've just put you in my Twitter. All right.
Okay.
Let's see how that works. Yes, I'm still learning a lot about Twitter, but I'm up to 841 tweets and 1,500 followers, so I'm getting there. I'm learning.
And I just notified you of a tweet you put out, so excellent.
There we go. All right, we're on board. Thank you, ladies. You take care and have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. We have been talking with Tradu Taylor, and that's T-R-A-U-D-L, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, and her daughter, Renee, R-E-N-N-R-E-N-E-E, T-A-Y-L-O-R. They have co-founded the nonprofit Coral 65, C-O-R-A-L 6-5, and they're the numbers, 6-5. They are really dedicated to helping people age 65 and over who have cancer, who have survived cancer. They are certainly including the families. They are providing so much good information. They really want to make sure that the quality of life is good. Just because you have cancer doesn't mean that you don't deserve good quality care. And certainly we need to talk with our decision makers, their policy makers, people in Capitol Hill, that there are a lot of things wrong, especially with Medicare, what they do and don't cover, especially for elderly cancer patients. It's really, really a shame of the way that works. All right, I need to talk about my airtime sponsor, Ginny Robertson. Ginny has a mission to connect people around the world with their gifts, their ideas, a place where they can communicate and create a community of support, and certainly where they can achieve a self-defined success. She is an awesome workshop presenter, speaker. She's recently started having house concerts because they love music, especially jazz. It has been fantastic 16 years of crossing paths with this wonderful entrepreneur here in the Baltimore area. But she has an online networking group on Facebook. She also has a magazine that she publishes, On Purpose Woman Magazine. It's free online. It's in print here in Maryland. It is fantastic with lots of great information. Thanks a lot for listening to Anna's Journey here on Blog Talk Radio. I will be off for the next couple of days, and then once September arrives, I'll be doing a couple of interviews with some other authors and certainly some other cancer groups and certainly lots of other things that I just find interesting that I think the listeners want to hear about. Thanks a lot. Have a blessed day. Take care.